sitting, we were up till 3 in the morning laughing, just hearing every, like, the video playing and Sydney snoring.
We were How dare you?
But can confirm that. Because like, we stayed in that weird hotel that first night, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
This is the worst podcast I've ever been on.
You sound like a bobcat.
How dare you?
What in tarnation?
Oh, welcome back to the Tard Yard. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back.
We're live from the fucking RV.
Truly, badly, deeply.
We're live from our undisclosed location in Oregon somewhere.
Inside an RV.
Yeah, this is our road digs.
This is literally my bed.
This is Hannah's bed. That's Sydney's bed. And over there, you guys can't see it, but up there is other Sydney's bed. Say hi to other Sydney, Sydney Smith. Wait, I don't know why I keep looking over there for a camera. There's not one.
It's up there.
Yeah.
We're used to having one on the side. But yeah, it's been a long, fun day. We had a day off today for some gigs, and me and Hannah have been up since 6:45 this morning doing clown shit.
Yeah, and it's now 10 p.m., so you guys have been up for a long time.
Yeah, really. And we went to bed at 3:30 a.m.
the night before.
Oh, because we were laughing watching the grainy Blair Witch footage that I took of us being denied Taco Bell last night.
Yeah, my protest at the Taco Bell drive-thru line. Oh, so we're in this giant 30-foot RV, obviously. And we leave the show and we're like, hey, we're heading to a campground. We're like, we'll stop, get dinner for the night. So we pull into a Taco Bell. And we don't fit in the drive-thru anywhere, obviously. So we park the RV and we're like, well, the lobby's closed, even though the doors say the lobby's open until 1 a.m.
At least 1 a.m.
Literally the sign on the door said lobby open from 7 a.m. until 1 a.m. or later.
At least.
But the lobby's not open. So we're like, oh, we'll all four get in formation like we're in a car and walk through the drive-thru line. The
dumbest thing that you would ever have seen. I mean, I have to freely admit that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's like we were on Wonder Woman's plane.
Well, he was also sitting in the back seat, so that's a backseat driver sort of a comment. But for those of us that were committed to the clown car.
Those of us who were chlamydia.
I was casting something. But, you know, I wanted a quesadilla.
I really wanted a Crunchwrap Supreme, brother.
My mind was already just like, it wasn't going to go beyond Taco Bell. So, like, of course, did it seem like that's number, like, the best thing for us to do is get into that car shape and go into the drive-thru? No. But when you only, like, when you're already in a parking lot with a vehicle that's hard to park everywhere, and then, you know, you've got your mind on something, we chose Taco Bell amongst ourselves.
I'm not debating if we should have tried to get food. I'm talking about that we went up there, as AJ said, in a formation as if we were really in a vehicle.
For sure.
We were like, Sydney's like, I'm driving again.
I thought that was the most respectful thing we could do. To say like, hey, we understand that this is non-kosher, but see what we're doing here?
And the first one,
what are you doing?
We're going through the same motions everybody else did.
Yeah, it is. And I have to interject. Here's my legitimate thinking on this. Like, it didn't make me feel cool to be in a car shape, even as a clown for a job.
Yeah.
It's not like I felt good after we had a really good show that we had to get into this and we're not shooting content at that moment.
We should have been.
wanted a quesadilla. So, you know, but even me, like, I lost a lot of that, like, embarrassment over weird public things where, yeah. like, some people would never do that. Some people are very uptight and they'd be like, oh, we're just not going to even do that, you know. But so I was like, even being cold outside and having to walk from the order spot in the car formation to the actual drive-thru pay that way, my brain was like, something in this is going to melt me down. Because it's just like life and it's perfectly fine. But it was going to take for me too. So there's the fact that they couldn't roll with something that's clearly like.
I agree they should have did it.
We gave effort. So like this, this was about effort.
I think we lost it when someone said room, room. I think that's where we lost the guy.
Did I say room, room?
Nobody.
Oh, I thought that was like, I could have. No, but the guy's first words out of his mouth were,
what the fuck?
Now that did catch me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
All right. Back there eating tacos, huh? On break. Yeah. I'm with you guys. I've never heard anyone curse through. And I've seen
not first words.
Dude, this 19-year-old kid had just ripped the biggest hit he'd ever taken off of one of those fucking... What's that fucking, the shit Joe Rogan takes?
Yeah.
The hallucinogenic shit.
DMT.
DMT, okay, there you go. He just took a massive rip off of a DMT pin, and then he sees four people just standing in the drive-thru line.
Bro.
So he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. We could write a show based on his perspective.
Also, 19 may be generous.
Yeah. He was young.
He was young.
He was young. And a team member.
It's just a team member.
I mean, so much happened before that that it's hard to.
Am I allowed to say I thought somebody?
You can say anything.
I thought someone's getting handcuffs put on them.
Who did you think it was going to be out of this group?
It wasn't me, and it wasn't Sid. But I was sure that it was going to be the two of you.
I've been raising hands.
AJ was doing what I'm not going to say on camera, but AJ was doing what AJ was doing. And you were doing what you were doing. And I know I said to you, I said, stop. That's evidence.
Yeah, I heard it in the video.
Yes.
And I said something like, no, it's for posterity and the gram, you know.
I literally said, we're going to jail.
I know, I heard. I was zooming in on you. And that's when AJ hit the bush. And so, you do that wide loop, and we're watching. And like I told you, at that moment, my brain was computing. And even though it's historically done bad math, it's going, bro, there's a 40% chance to make the ultimate stand. And because I knew we had full coverage damage insurance on this vehicle that we're already swapping out in the next day.
They knew it. I said it out loud.
You did.
I know. But I've heard people say stuff out loud and then not, you know, whatever. But I still know there's a chance. So as you're doing that wide loop, like we said, we're going to jail, and we just hear the sound. And that bush coming across the sides, and we lose it again. You get back into the line, and I'm like, yeah, well, we're about to see where this goes. Because I thought potentially you could have, like, taken out that.
Well, okay, was my whole point was, like, we're in this line trying to order food. We can't fit through the drive-thru in the RV. We're too tall.
Yeah.
So we're standing there. The kid's like, what the fuck? And then he's like, oh, we can't serve you because you have to be in a motor vehicle.
Yeah. And I was like, that is the crucial part. Yeah.
And I was like, well, we can't fit our motor vehicle through the drive-thru because it's too big. So can you take our order? Can we mobile order? Well, like, also, what do we do? And he's like,
the lobby, you said.
Yeah. And I was like, also the lobby, like we parked because the lobby says it's open until 1 a.m. And he's like, no, it's only open until midnight. And I was like, well, it says 1 a.m. And at this point, he's at the door facing the drive-thru and he's opened the door of the building.
Yeah.
And he's like talking to us directly instead of through the headset and the speaker. But he's like, no, the lobby closes at midnight. And we're like, you're literally holding the evidence. Like, it's right. You're holding the evidence.
I was saying very little. In fact, sitting when we were up till 3 a.m. laughing, just hearing the video playing and Sydney snoring.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? But
can confirm that. Because like, we stayed in that weird hotel that first night, and I was like, oh. Okay, cool.
This is the worst podcast I've ever been on.
You sound like a bobcat.
How dare you? You can always tell when someone's guilty because all they say is, how dare you? How dare you?
I knew he was guilty because he literally popped up out of a, you know, dead stupor when we were laughing about you snoring to, like, lucidly defend yourself. Through a joke. You, like, popped up out of nowhere, like, mid-snore to be like, if it was someone like that, it's probably because of what I am.
Probably because they're just real tired.
Yeah,
I heard that.
Go back to sleep, ho. It's you. The call's coming from inside the RV. It's Top Bunk. Your voice. The end.
I was set up.
It's me, Margaret.
I was set up.
In your sleep, you sound like you leave your body and a bobcat reincarnates into it. I've never heard someone growl when they
sleep. You sound like you're having the fever dream Black Panther has when he takes the flower drinks, dude. You're somewhere on the plains, dude, with the ancestors.
I even said to Sydney last night, though, it sounds like a little bobcat. Like, so to me, it's like where he's trying to find his voice. He's like practicing before he goes to the dude, like the elders. So he's like, it's just like a tiny little bobcat starting out.
It's those little roars right before Simba sings, I just can't wait to be king.
Yeah, it's a pre-roar. It's that roar.
It's not a full roar. It's like a hemi idling.
Yeah, it is. It's all of that.
So I guess the next time I hit you up and say, hey, let's go on tour again. You got all, well, you know, I don't think we're doing that anymore.
I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you. I'm on the opposite end of the RV. So by the time it makes it to me, it sounds like the waves crashed.
Oh, there you go.
It's got extra ocean noises.
And to be honest, I could have put in headphones about it, but I meditate and have tinnitus. So I just went with God, and you know, I knew no matter what, isn't going to be the last man I hear snore near me.
You know what?
So I just got to go with the fucking flow, and I knew we were high, and we had to be up in 3 hours, and I knew we had to get up.
Yeah.
I knew we needed to see it, and we did, but we've been up the whole fucking
time. Also, shout out to our sponsor, Eargasm, because I just put those bad boys in.
This motherfucker's a pro!
Eargasm, friend of the pod. Yours.
What a pro move right there. What a pro move.
It might be a pro move, but it's the God's honest truth.
She literally did. I heard
you say something about eargasms. I don't know. I gotta go to sleep. I'm tired.
Literally, like, reached under the table and popped because she's like, they fell off the counter. Oh no. And then found that little keychain container and was like,
Yeah, I thought I lost them because I left them on the counter and we drove all
day, and
it was gone. And I was like, how am I gonna sleep tonight? But I found them. I had a little panic moment.
Well, not that I don't enjoy or mind that you guys are picking on me at all, but as a guy who does podcasts and has a few listeners like you guys, well, you guys have more, I'm sure, but I'm sure you want to know the rest of the damn story.
Oh, well, I'd like to interject here. After AJ said all of that to this tween Taco Bell employee, let's just leave it at that. At this stage in the game, he is a Taco Bell employee. I hear you. If we stop at everyone's cleverness, then what?
No, we're doing it.
So, as AJ is saying all these things, which were true, we wanted to try to order food. They said until 1 a.m. at least is the verbiage. I also have an English major that I don't use, so I can read a pedestrian sign. So I was even starting to chime in, although being very quiet the whole time. Because when he started being like, no, it's only till la la la, I'm like, well, the sign says, because, you know, a corporation like Taco Bell, you kind of have to follow things. Like, I worked at an A&W in Clay City, Indiana when I was younger. And like, you know, I know what it's like to be at a restaurant. I also know that, like, anyone in there can make a call to let people that are about to spend money that aren't being like yahoos, although I knew it appeared yahoo-y, that we were in a fake car. Because what I was going to say to bring the story back
wasn't a fake car. It was an invisible one.
Fine. I was in it, buddy. I was in the car, too. I was in the car, too. Okay. So, but to bring that back, is all that information was being communicated to said Taco Bell employee from us in the fake car. So that's all I wanted to do to tie it back. That, like, when we were denied Taco Bell because we had to have a motorized vehicle, which we could not fit, which is how we kind of were skipping ahead when we were kind of breaking some things down. It was leading from there.
Oh, I was full on melting down. Because I understand rules. And that was the thing, is this 19-year-old kid kept being like, it's a rule, I can't serve you if you're not in a motor vehicle. And I was like, in my brain, I was like, well, that rule, there's not a sign anywhere that says that rule, but the lobby hours are printed on the side of the fucking building.
Twice.
Yeah. Is that also not a rule? That rule's so important, they wrote it on the side of the fucking building.
I know. And all...
but that's
we what... also had a motorized vehicle.
Well, and that's what
we
I told him.
We cannot fit it in the line.
And that's
but
what
we
I
will.
That's what I told him. I was so like, dude, I will. And I was like, I will pull this RV into this drive-through line if that's what you want. I will take the top off of all of this shit.
But your meltdown started when you said it's 1 a.m. is on the door, and he turned and looked at the door and read it. And turned and looked back at you and still persisted to argue.
It's midnight. Motherfucker.
And then
I think that was my final straw. I was like, oh, this bitch can't read, it's over.
Yeah, and it wasn't the non-reading for me. That's where I also started to be like, really, fuck you, Taco Bell, because... It's just like, it's not about the read or not read. It's, hey, once you walk out and you see that you're wrong, at that corporation's level, you have to honor what the door says. Unless you can just present me with, like, I'm sorry, but our line cook just OD'd. I can't find
what?
If you guys make me make a quesadilla, Dill is done, dude. Plus, it's that. You honor the fucking sign, Bobby. You don't gotta let us in even, but you have to serve us. We have a vehicle running in your parking lot. We got the money. We put together a fake car.
Two? Now, we've had
we put together a fake car.
Gave Sydney a piggyback ride to get inside the fake car.
Is this true? Tally-ho. Look.
I was about to step in the dirt with his Nikes, and I was like, I got you.
Hey, I was not looking at my shoes wet and muddy. Look, the only defense I could find for the team member last night at Taco Bell is I have been in a real vehicle at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and seen homeless people come up and try to order food in the drive-thru. And I know they're like, get the fuck out of here. So,
that's the worst part to me. Because there was a homeless guy also there that was trying to help. And I was like, shut up, you're not helping.
Yeah, I forgot. On the bike?
Yeah. Ooh, we should have got him to order his food.
he asked. He was like, wait, what if I ride through on my bicycle and I order for them? Does that count? And the guy was like,
it's not motorized.
It's not motorized.
But then you asked for those keys. She gave them to you. I looked at her like, what are you doing? And then you persisted.
I wanted to see what played out.
Then you persisted to.
Always will.
To react like nobody other than Sean Penn and Milk. Could have reacted. I've seen anybody protest that hard since Sean Penn would play Harvey Milk. And it was all to get tacos. And then we're all like, we don't want the food. They were spinning.
No. Yeah.
That's, yeah, I was like, we can't eat here anymore. But I'm here to protest.
Same.
I mean, I gave you the keys. You whipped the hardest UE, the fastest UE in an RV I've ever seen in a parking lot.
We have a 30-foot RV. It's not like a short cab. You know, it's not a little school bus, bro. It's...
And this is a very tight Taco Bell parking lot.
Can I throw a flag on the play on something you just said?
Sure.
Because you just said, I'm down to protest. And let me be the one Sydney to talk shit to the other Sydney. You were standing next to me 50 fucking feet away from where the protest was actually happening.
That's true. You're like, I'm down to protest. Well, I could be stepping away from the scene of the crime.
That's not true. I was all over the place. It's on video. I was up. Yeah. I was back.
I'd like to report at this one, I had turned into a front of the line just reporter.
Yeah, this time you were a war reporter.
Yeah, I was right there in the crosshairs at any point to protect and serve.
The crosshairs?
Yeah, to protect and serve. Bro, you don't know what could happen. Like I said, homie could have just be tweaking out there or be on a little roid rage, outside, acting up. Next thing, we got a situation. I
would love to see roid rage versus retard strength. I would love to see that.
I will let play out.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. I melted down because this was like a cascade effect of multiple things. Because the night we got to Portland, that first hotel we stayed at, we pre-booked through Hilton Honors, we pre-checked in through the Hilton Honors app, and I called Hilton Honors to get the both Sydney's added to the reservations because they were getting into town first. Like, they had already landed. They were there, and I was still on the ground in Nashville. So, but because of the way the Hilton is set up, because we shared the account, the room was booked in Taryn's name. And so I was the guest on one of the rooms. So when I put you guys as the guest, it kicked me off. But it was still pre-checked through the app and pre-checked done through the app with the American Express Hilton Honors card. And in like all of the terms and stuff, it says if you pre-check in with this, you don't have to present a card to the front desk. They put the Hilton Honors American Express card on file for the room. That's why you can get a digital key through the app and you don't ever have to go to the front desk.
Oh, my God.
So the way that the Hilton Honors app, and they even called the hotel to confirm, and they're like, yeah, all the Sydneys will have to do is present their IDs and the hotel will give them room keys. And then you guys got there and that's not what happened.
Well, because that twat had a fucking AirPod in her ear and no sense in her.
And she was like 12 years old.
Yeah, she looked 12. She was too young to be there and she was rude.
Yeah, nothing says subpar customer service ahead like a single noise blocking instrument 100%. In your ear.
Perfect example of this. She was like, do you have, is it like a business trip? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, do you have the email? And I was like, yeah. And I'm going to give her your email. And she just slides me a little sticky note, just goes like this, and then starts doing something else. And like 4 minutes later, I'm like, can I get a pen?
Yeah.
So that was your moment of me going, do the BLT shoot?
Hey, baby.
That was your that's your version right there of being like,
oh,
so can I get a pen?
we'll get to that. But so this hotel, like, they were rude to you, and they gave you the key. You didn't have to give your credit card.
Not me, no.
But then Sydney, they made him give his whole ass credit card, refused to give him a room key until he gave them his credit card. Yeah. And then they rebuild the room to his credit card.
Why do you think they did that?
Well, I don't know. What is the difference between these two Sydneys, Hannah?
Well, I can't see.
We both got penises.
Houston camo. That's the biggest difference, is that I can't see Sydney tonight because she's in camouflage.
Yeah, all I see is a possum and some fish.
That's it.
I do have a Hilton story, if I can share it real quick.
Please.
So when my wife and I got married about 6 years ago, we had a ton of people who were flying in. We wanted to book like 30 rooms at a Hilton in the Phoenix metro area. Went in, asked for this woman to come down. She finally got down about 10 minutes later, said, this is what we have going on. And we were getting married around spring training time. And in Phoenix, everyone's coming in, they jack prices up, which we are aware of. All we did was tell the woman we want to block out rooms. She said, what date? Told her date. She looked right at me. She said, I'm not sure your guests are going to want to pay the prices for that time of year. You might want to check some of the other hotels around the area. So only thing she said, first thing and only thing she said, I got up with my wife and we left. I went home and I called Hilton Corporate. Once they figured out that, oh my God, I'm so sorry that happened. Their only insurance was trying to get me to come back and book those rooms. Oh, nothing yeah. else. Nothing else. Absolutely not. So I had always sworn never to go into another Hilton or stay there at all until that day.
You got to go to the True by Hilton at the airport.
And I'm glad you said it. Yeah. Right
the
here.
True by Hilton, Portland Airport.
Which you told me you looked up is one of the highest prime rate areas of Portland is that airport area.
Yeah. Here in Portland, yeah. It was like they're 250% more times more likely for you to get, you know, criminalized there than any place else in Portland.
Dang.
In that area. Which makes sense why you got to get keyed up to come in and out fucking if you're driving your own car in and out and everything. But anyway.
So that happens at the hotel when we first get here. Then we have that situation at the diner. We go to that. Sherry's Pies, and I've been to like three or four different Sherry's Pies.
Was that before the Taco Bell?
It was before the Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's earlier in the day.
I've been to several of those Sherry's Pies, and they've always been incredible. And then somehow we got the worst one on the worst day.
And I
want
to say the four pieces of pie we had were good. Really?
Yeah. Even though we only asked for two pieces of pie, the four pieces she brought to the table were still good. And it's not like she brought us two free pieces of pie. I still had to pay for them.
Did she charge you?
I didn't have the heart to ask because after I had made the spectacle with the BLT, it was just baby is this.
We gotta go back because we sit down, we start ordering food before we even get to the pies. So one of you asked about the turkey club. You're like, oh,
they're out of turkey.
Yeah, we're out of turkey. Okay, I'll have the BLT then. That was her moment to tell you they were out of tomatoes.
For sure.
But she did not do that.
She did. And no. You know, that's a third of that sandwich.
She brings you both because you got a half a BLT.
I got a full BLT.
Oh, you got a full BLT. Got a half a BLT. So we get one and a half BLTs, and she starts biting hers, and then she's like, there's no tomato anywhere to be found on this sandwich. And then the lady comes back to the table, and that's when you did the...
This week's episode of the What in Tardation podcast is brought to you by Eargasm, the leader in innovative hearing solutions. Eargasm was founded with a passion for preserving the sound quality of live experiences while prioritizing hearing health. We live in a loud world, and harmful noises significantly threaten our hearing and mental health. Eargasm's high-fidelity earplugs are designed to protect your hearing in all loud environments without sacrificing sound quality. Get all the highs and lows of a concert or festival at a safer volume for your eardrums. Eargasm earbuds aren't just for musicians or concert fans, though. They're for anyone who finds themselves in loud situations. If you're someone who needs extra support in unpredictable environments, from comedy clubs or classrooms to crowds or construction sites, these earplugs help manage sensory overload and anxiety caused by loud noises. Eargasm's high-fidelity earplugs are an ideal go-to solution for neurodivergent individuals or anyone else with sensory processing differences or sensitivities to sounds because these earplugs filter out harmful, overwhelming noise and allow you to hear only what matters, so you can enjoy a calmer, more grounded experience in chaotic environments. Order your first pair of hypoallergenic, high-fidelity earplugs today by checking Eargasm out on Instagram or heading over to their website at www.eargasm.com. And when you check out, use promo code AJ10 for 10% off your order. Now back to the podcast.
I black out a little bit when I'm talking to people.
You said, hey, baby.
Hey, baby. You did it with your black lady voice, too. Yeah,
he said, hey, baby.
Well, because I have the side interjector. This bitch is cartoonishly pregnant. And she's, I mean.
Not only cartoonishly present. Like, pregnant. And I hate to say it this way.
She was also cartoonishly present as well.
She was also cartoonishly present. Yes. I, like,
said,
she.
No, whatever.
Very sweet lady. Nothing nothing to be said about her like manner, but you could just tell there's nothing going on behind her eyes. Those lights were off.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, and she's also working at Sherry's, and like AJ had said, maybe Sherry's of yesteryear was really popping. But when we walked in, even with, you know, a lot of like excitement in my heart, I immediately felt sad.
It felt like we walked into a luncheon at a retirement
for
home.
For sure. It was a very time capsule-y energy.
It felt like the last day at a Shoney's.
Shoney's.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're Shoney's. Going out of business tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh. You know? Chi-Chi's. It was Chi-Chi's. Like, it felt like, a, you know, as a last breath, like a ghost of Quincy's? Restaurant past.
I didn't have any, we didn't have any Quincy's.
No, we Quincy's? Didn't have any
of those. Oh, it was either. Like a buffet style, like a Shoney's.
For sure.
I want to make sure we don't forget this part, too. They were out of tomatoes. There was nobody there. It looked like where they shot Pulp Fiction, except for no extras. And what they're known for, they only had two versions of.
Known for their pie. I was so excited about the pie. I kept telling them about this award-winning pie. We get to the end of this disappointing meal, and we're like, well, at least there's still the pie. No, there's not. All we got left is cherry and apple, because we don't get another truck until tomorrow.
That's what all our stuff will be here. That's what she said.
Along with the tomatoes, apparently.
Yeah, but
there were tomatoes in your soup.
Yeah, there are tomatoes in the tortilla soup. I think somebody just got over extra with the tomatoes and then was like, oh no.
it was a sad restaurant. Like two old people walked in when we were leaving, and that was like all the customers there. Yeah. Like, I think I said, I hope that woman is working part time, because the 8-hour shift there, it was going to be rough for anybody. Yeah. Even though she's very pregnant.
Yeah.
She needs that job.
Hey, baby. Does the sandwich usually come without tomatoes?
Oh,
and my favorite part was she answered and she said, actually, because this is how my brain works. She didn't just say, oh, we're out of tomatoes. She said, oh, sorry, we're out of tomatoes and mushrooms.
She didn't bring up mushrooms.
And at that point, I was like, bro, no. We're out of tomatoes and mushrooms. And two, it's way too late.
I forgot about that.
It's too late. It's too late to apologize. That was my energy with that, because I was like, bro, the mushrooms are... No. These are before we order things, you got to say. And you know, you don't know this about me, but I served for like 20 years at a high level. And even like as a drunk, like could just like shot call 12 people's orders, 8 courses, you know? So for this bitch, she couldn't... I told her clearly we wanted 2 pieces of pie total for the day.
Like so many times.
When she told us all she had was cherry and apple, and I was like, we'll take 1 piece of each, please, for the table. And she said, so 2 pieces of each? And we said, no.
For everybody.
1 piece of each, we'll split them. 2 pieces of pie total.
And then we even said 4 forks to try to be like, hey, they're splitting that. 4 forks. Another point of reference, bro. I mean, and it felt clear. It looked like when she looked at me with her Krispy Kreme eyes.
She nodded. She locked in and she said,
yeah,
got
but
you.
As you said, you know, she's glazed donut eyes. She's about to fucking... This rotisserie chicken she's baking is almost here. Can't be the only one. You know, she's at Sherry's. Sherry's best days are in the past.
Oh, they're done.
But when she walked away after the pie thing, I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt.
No chance, AJ, she'd come back with more than 1 piece, 2 pieces.
When she came back to the table and sat down 2 slices of apple, no cherry, just 2 slices of apple, I was like, where's this going?
Yeah, we all looked at each other.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the way you looked across the
table. It was your look.
The meme, the guy, the fucking... You straight up went.
You did, and because of the way I saw you first...
Yeah.
And it had that like office effect to me of when they just look at the camera.
Exactly. The gym.
And so because of it, but then I was turning to get away from that from you straight into Sydney, not handling it well. As in just like beginning to laugh. And I'm like just over here. Like
now. I grabbed your arm and quietly went.
And I heard that, and my brain immediately said, "This is that hotel elevator all over again, dude." Oh, no. You gotta let him get off and let the doors close before he start laughing. You're just laughing in their face for no reason.
What you just brought up, though, I completely forgot. That, and I'm sorry if you see this podcast, but that bitch did say, "We don't have any mushrooms."
Yeah.
Just in case you were thinking about ordering mushrooms.
Thanks for telling us now, but also the mushrooms had zero effect on what I'm asking.
In case you were going to say, well, all right, you're out of tomatoes, but do you have any mushrooms?
And one thing we also glossed over is that, like, the server that we first encountered when we walked in there is not who finished the order.
It's not.
Prego subbed in after two table touches. And this is industry talk, but I know it. You know, so like she had already come over and she had informed us of what became a trend, which is why, you know, I didn't go to business school. I didn't go to Kelly at IU, you know, just to drop out English major comic. But I see the handwriting on the wall and there's frayed international flags, like
there's a tiny little flag for different countries on every table.
It's for every war they won. That Sherry's has won. They've won.
But right away, I look at the placard, and you know he had told us about the pies. Pies. This is the before anything's been done. And I see on the placard there's a pie shake. And I find it compelling because by their own verbiage, there's a whole piece of pie in every fucking shake, bro. A whole piece. So when she says to us that they don't have the pie shake anymore because they, and this is extra information, once again, like the mushrooms, I didn't ask. You just leave it as we don't have the pie shakes, but she said, hey, they came in. They took away our ice cream machine. I don't even know. So I was like, okay.
Skipping over the best part of the whole interaction.
Which part?
You pick up, it's like, not the menu, but like the little triangular placard with like the photos and like the specials on it. And it says, pie shake. A full slice of pie in every shake. And Hannah just reads it out loud and shows it to me.
Yeah.
And this eavesdropping ass bitch just goes, she goes, oh, yeah, they're really good. We don't serve those anymore.
They took away our ice cream. They took away our ice cream.
That was the best part. It's like, hard recommend. You ain't having it here, though, motherfucker.
Nothing says you should get another job when they come and take the ice cream machine out.
Yeah.
It's the... Your days are not long when they come to take the ice cream machine
out. Oh my God, like the ice cream vendor just shows up and said, McDonald's threw up the bat signal.
Y'all out. You've been selling too much. But I'm with you. When you said it about the fucking, the pie, whole pie, the thing, my mind was, and I didn't even want dessert, but I was like, I might order this just to see what this looks like.
And this sounds like a pie McFlurry.
The funniest, and yes, but when you said the part about, what was her exact words? I'll tell you where my mind went.
She goes, oh yeah, they're really good. We don't serve those anymore.
Okay, so when she said we don't serve those anymore, my initial thought, because, you know, as good as a whole piece of pie sounds, fucked into a shake, like Cold Stone Creamery, bro.
I just gave Jason Biggs a pint of ice cream and a pie and said, go nuts.
But I straight up thought she's about to say they don't serve it anymore because like someone died from like heart disease. Like they're being sued. Like Panera killed people with the electric lemonade and they killed people with the pie shake.
Yeah, we had to stop serving them. 18 people got diabetes in 1 month.
So when it was just they took the ice cream machine, I was like, okay, good. That's rich. Sorry for your loss. this is clearly a wash. I'm glad to have your last piece of the pie. Felt like I was dying. Like I'm just
They took your ice cream machine. They're not sending you a truck until tomorrow. How are you under siege by your own corporation?
I just had a BL sandwich, bro.
Same, brother. Same.
You had a full size.
I know.
That's a slap in the fucking face, bro.
You should have ordered that BLM.
Oh, bacon, lettuce, mushroom.
Chico.
Oh, bacon, lettuce, mayo.
Hey, sorry, we're out of mushrooms and tomatoes.
It's too late to apologize.
The fucking Panera shit, when the girl died from the lemonade and everybody was up in arms about it, I was like, are you guys kidding me? She knew she had problems. She going to order that lemonade, put that you. In fact, at Panera Bread, you get to put your own shit in the cup. Should have put that in the cup. You knew better than that.
Does she have like intolerant stick happy?
She had like a heart issue or something.
Oh,
yeah.
And she drank basically she a just pounding all
sugar.
Yeah. So she drank. So Panera had like this super caffeinated. Whatever.
Oh, right.
She went. She ordered, or I shouldn't say she ordered it. She actually put in the cup herself and drank it and killed herself. And everybody was up in arms. That's why they took the fucking the lemonade away. Because other idiots turns were like, out, I gotta go drink some of it.
Doug, Panera should sue Red Bull because turns out electric lemonade gives you wings, dude. Fucking.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I will say,
take flight, huh?
That's basically what I told you to do to Taco Bell.
Oh, yes, back to Taco Bell.
Take flight, Johan. I knew the story. You have to because okay. Look, so I just okay. We're at the me becoming and on boots on the ground. Investigative journalist.
Okay, I have a
You guys are doing nothing. I'm going to get arrested, bro.
You were Kristen Dunst in Civil War.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to get the shot when the president dies, dude.
Oh, my God. And I was. Because I was like, hey, one way or the other, we need this.
Have you seen a movie where they telegraph the fucking ending more than Civil War?
Well, we all saw it together.
Okay.
That was our first hang in the first day we, like, were separated from a show.
I am sitting watching that movie, and I'm like, you guys are just giving away the ending. Now I know, but I'm not, I can't even say because in case someone wants to see it, but it is. And I love Kirsten Dunst. I've loved her since she was old enough to be loved. All right? I love Kirsten Dunst.
I don't want to know what that age was. I already know enough. The Diddy stuff is troubling. You told me Justin Bieber sucked up.
I said that was out there. I just, I don't know. And when I said it about Kirsten Dunst, it's because the first time anyone ever saw her, she was on Interview with a Vampire. She's like too little. She's a little girl in that movie. You know, and that's what she got.
But she's so cute. Your verbiage put you in a tough spot, buddy. And if you, you know.
No, your verbiage just helped me out. Made me look that much better, all right?
Good. You're welcome. Well, I was her in Civil War. And I was trying to get the shot at Taco Bell. Of my friend and whatever he's going to do.
Drove our RV through the building.
Oh, my God.
We don't even got the proper outside lights on the RV. And at this point, I thought he could cause damage on the top to give us a skylight we don't have. Because he goes through to prove a point to Gavin, who won't let us have Taco Bell.
Who the fuck is Gavin?
That kid, he looks like a Gavin. When you pulled up into the drive-thru in the RV, you pulled up to it and you touched their little hanging sign that says 9 feet. This is 12, by the way. And you tapped it. I was like,
"Well, that was a twofold move." Because the last thing he said, he was like, when we were in the drive-thru, he's like, "I can't serve you on foot in the drive-thru. It's a safety hazard. Because the car behind you could hit you." So I was like, okay, motherfucker. here's our motor vehicle. It doesn't fit through the drive-thru. That now you can serve me on foot because there's not, now it's not a safety hazard, is it?
Yeah, because you blocked the drive. There were people behind you.
Yes.
Well,
and nobody blew the horn.
Yeah. But that's when you were like, they're going to spit in our food. And I was like, all right, we can't eat here.
But why would you blow the horn? Those are one of those moments that, like, when you hear a comic tell a story, like, that's big time funny on stage. You know there's people that saw that happen and didn't have any of that POV.
Yeah.
So, like, watching four of us walking around in varying states and these crazy voices, they're watching a pimple-faced kid try to flex on us, you know, as a team member of Taco Bell. You know, we got a 30-foot RV with a winking dog on the side. Just everyone reeking a weed. I'm screaming through the drive-thru.
Not everyone.
You know, okay, sorry. But, you know, like, there was a lot of dynamics happening. But now you say to me we're going to block us in. That was such a brilliant battleship move, but we were dealing with an imbecile.
I know.
So he was not, or even if he wasn't, he didn't want to work with us. Let's put it that
way. Well, you guys were like, he's going to spit in our food. And I was like, okay. So I backed the RV up and I pull her back around to the door. And now he's back at the side door.
Yeah, he came out to the other door that said it was open till at least 1 a.m. So now he's at a second door with something you should have let us in the first door because of. And he's forced to come out and I'm still rolling. And he proceeds to give a little bit of a speech to us about what I perceived on my end. Everyone else can say how they felt to be limitations. That, you know, how you clock in on a day-to-day basis has its equal and opposite abilities, you know, and ramifications. And he last night was a team member. He let us know. He sometimes is potentially in management at Taco Bell, but maybe they took his card. Maybe he just knows another manager. But he was saying to us, maybe even in a hypothetical world, if I was a manager, this wouldn't have been a big deal. I'd have let you clowns in your fake car. I would have shot a video with you, LOL. But not tonight. Not tonight. I'm just a team member. Or he's just letting us know. Whatever. But this is, and his last words on the video that we have are, this is a lose-lose, bro.
Oh, well, that's because I was like, dude, you can let us order food, or I can circle this back around and block the drive-thru again.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, well, then I'll just call the police, bro. I was like, call them.
That's what I said to you. I said,
call them. I was like, when they get here, I'm so sorry, officer. I don't know how to back up such a big LV.
We could have put me behind the wheel, and I'm Asian and a bitch, so it's true.
And then he goes, that's a lose-lose. And it's not, though.
We would have won.
Yeah, he'd have just lost twice. Yeah.
The second he flexed jail, you can hear me, who was talking very little in the video because I wanted to capture what was happening. To the clear semi.
Well, what was funny was he was being so hard. And he said jail. And as he was saying jail, I put the RV in park and I was getting back out of the RV.
Yes.
And I think he thought I was coming for him.
He ran.
Well, and you're right, because when he came out, he was doing his best Kevin Hart impersonation. He was trying to say with his chest. And he had the door wide open. But he, you know, to me, you know, if you're a tough guy, let that door shut behind you and we'll figure it all out. But he had that door open. I said, dude, just go back in and shut the door. And he's still yammering. And then when you hopped out in your very energetic way out, he couldn't close that door.
To be fair, I wasn't trying to hop out energetically. I was climbing across the cab of the RV and I tripped on my way out.
Here we go again. You tripped twice tonight. Once almost into a fire pit. Thankfully, not on fire. That's been a trend.
I also fell down that sand dune. On purpose.
Oh my God.
I would still love to hear how he told his friend later that night or the next day about how that all went down. I would love to hear. I told him it was a lose-lose, bro. And he got invaded.
The best part is there was all of that drama, and then we literally drove 80 feet next door to the McDonald's, and I just knocked on the door, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry. She was like, oh, our lobby's closed. I was like, I know, but we can't fit through the drive-thru. Like, could we mobile order, and you could just bring it to, like, we'll just park, and you can bring it out like a regular mobile order. And she's like, no, come on in. That was the whole interaction.
And we got food.
Moral of the story, shame on you, Taco Bell.
And Gavin.
For not letting a team member like Gavin feel empowered enough to make a decision to feed four delirious, hungry comics who already had it figured out. We weren't trying to... there was no con artistry. There was just real artistry happening.
Taco Bell's entire marketing plan is directed towards us. We are your target demographic. We live Moss.
And you fucked it up. I will say this, though. Give Gavin a promotion, because he's going to be the biggest dick manager you've ever promoted. Oh, he's going to follow the rules. I mean, he's going to fire a motherfucker at the drop of the hat for being one
he
hour.
He will close the lobby early, though. He will close that lobby early.
That's just because Dylan's OD'd in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said the lobby thing was also a manager's call, and I'm just a team member.
I'm just a team member guy.
He went out there. I will say this, and I said this last night. All jokes aside, Taco Bell, you guys are shit. You guys have become absolutely the worst in terms of your staff and how lazy they are, and close the lobby early and show up. Oh, we're out of lettuce. We're out of tomatoes. We're out of meat. Just because, all because they don't
want to work. Who do you think you are, Sherry's?
It's just the worst. Grow up, Taco Bell.
Grow up, Taco Bell. Or it's about to get a real Waffle House around these motherfuckers.
Oh, y'all start fucking laying cheese like they do at Jack in the Box and tacos. You had a whole other fucking problem on your hands.
We'll riot.
January 6th was nothing. We'll show up at that time.
He said it.
all of a sudden Barbara Walters.
No, but like I said, that meltdown was not just about the Taco Bell. It was about the hotel, and absolutely, it was about the Sherry's, absolutely, and it was about like the show, like the weirdness with like the club that had like booked other people, even though we had the get in the van tour that the entire premise of is I have an RV full of comedians. And they're like, oh yeah, let us book an extra host in a feature.
I don't talk to team members. Give me some management out here. I don't want team members making my tacos.
Here's four pieces of pie. No,
we've had several wild Portlandia interactions.
It's like day three. That's what's happened. Yeah. That's what's crazy.
When you said it was day three to me today, I was like,
what? It's the start. I said it at the start of day three.
We still have like eight more days of this.
Crazy.
Yeah, we're going full Gravity Falls.
Yes. So
we're discovering all of the secrets. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about some of what happens afterwards. So good for you guys.
Thank you. I'm glad I got to meet you. Yeah. Sidebar.
I'm so glad you came on this trip.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to meet another Sydney.
One more show tomorrow night. And then you guys are off to Washington. So where are you guys going?
We're doing Seattle, Tacoma, Spokane.
There you go.
And we've got I think we've got another couple, like, two-day breaks in between.
Just rad. Can't wait for more shenanigans. Yes.
Those shows will already be over by the time you see this, I think.
No.
No.
This
no,
will
they
come
won't.
Out on Wednesday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do Wednesday have a little bit of a gap.
Which
we...
show?
Wednesday will be the 2nd of October. So Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So this coming.
So actually today tonight you can see us in Seattle at Capitol Hill Comedy Bar. And then October 3rd, you can see us in Tacoma at the Spanish Ballroom at McMiniman's. And then yes. And then Spokane, you can see us at Spokane Comedy Club
on the 6th,
October 6th.
Let's go. Right.
And then next weekend, I will be in Des Moines with Cam Bertrand. We're co-headlining again for a full weekend at the Des Moines Funny Bone. And then January 31st, I'm filming my special at Gramercy Theater. Two shows, New York City. Let's do it. And I've got shows all the way between from now until then. And all of those shows you can find on my website at ajwilkerson.com.
This is sweets. Pretty sweets.
And if you like what you saw here, subscribe to the Patreon. www.patreon.com/TarnationNation.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out your socials, sir.
Sydney Smith Creative is going to be CRE, the number 8TIV. You go there, you can keep up with everything, including my schedule. I'll be headlining next weekend, starting my tour at Helium in St. Louis. So come check me out. I'll be there the 4th and the 5th. Looking forward to that with my girl August. So that'll be a good time. Plus, I have 3 podcasts that I do as well. I have some films on there and my special on YouTube, Misunderstood. I dropped earlier this year. It's doing pretty well. So check that out too.
Yes, definitely check out Sydney Smith and his special on YouTube. Also, check out Hannah Rushline and her album on 800 Pound Gorilla and her social medias.
At Handerpump Rules. I love that. Basically love that. All of the things.
Handerpump Rules. I love that. That's so cool.
Asian American Psycho is the album title on all of the streamers, Spotify, Tidal, all that shit, Apple Music, etc.
Check it out.
Hell yes.
Check it
out. Sydney Stevens Comedy on everything. Follow me and get more of my unhinged shenanigans.
Yes.
Thanks for stopping by. Welcome in this fucking mobile, portable version of the Tard Yard. And be sure to check us out. You already shouted out the Patreon, didn't you? We'll see you next week.
What in tarnation?